Sandy Shores Baptist Church. Good to have you here this morning with us. We are going to enjoy worshiping together for Palm Sunday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this particular day, as we celebrate Jesus Christ victorious over death, we would recognize that the cross is at the center of it all. We also realize that coming into Jerusalem as he did on this day, the week wound up being a very difficult, tragic week. We celebrate your power, your presence, and your glory. And we pray that this day we could lift your name high and keep it holy in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the time where we would normally have an offertory. The interesting thing is there's nobody here to pass the plate. God has more than enough money to take care of our church and all its needs. The difficult thing is it's in your pocket. So as the Lord leads you, if you need to make a tithe or an offering to the church, it would be a good thing. You can mail it to us. If you need somebody to pick it up, we'll be glad to do that. Just let us know. But above all else, just remember, we love God, and He loves us, and we need to carry the message the best we can throughout this entire world. Help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, as we think about the offering that we might give, I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide us. It's your will that we want done and not ours. Help us to honor you in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I would read this from what I like to call Good News for Modern Man. It's today's English version. It's a wonderful translation. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for us who are being saved, it is God's power. For the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise men or the scholars or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For God in His wisdom made it impossible for men to know Him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, God decided to save those who believe by means of foolish messages that we preach. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim Christ on the cross, a message that is offensive to the Jews and nonsense to the Gentiles. But for those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seemed to be God's foolishness is wiser than men's wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than men's strength. I love my wife. I've always loved my wife as long as I've known her. I've known her for a lot of years. At her last birthday, I decided, oh, I love my wife so much, I've got to show her how much I love her. I shopped and I thought about it again, and I decided I'm going to get her a Swiffer. My friend said, you don't want to do that, so I didn't. I got her a wet jet, and I'll tell you, that did not go well. Actually, that is not a true story. That's an illustration of how foolish sometimes we can be when we want to demonstrate how much we love someone. My question to you is this: how in the world did God demonstrate His love for us? That is the real question in life that is so important. It's the cross. It is the cross. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:7-10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The cross is God's greatest demonstration of His love for us. He calls us to share the victory of the cross, the thing that the world looks at, there's victory. And yet down through the ages now, there have been crosses everywhere. When you're going from Oklahoma City to Amarillo, there is a spot not too far out of, about 70 miles out of Amarillo. There is a huge cross that you can see for almost 100 miles in that flat land. It stands tall, but that is not the one that really counts. That's just a symbol of what we believe in. We recognize that the cross is God's greatest demonstration of His love for us. We need to understand how important that is. There are several reasons for that. First, the cross demonstrates how far God would go to reveal His love for mankind. We've read the scripture and we've looked at it, and it says that this is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. There is a wonderful book that says, the day the devil laughed, he was laughing at Jesus on the cross. He was laughing because of His supposed success. Boy, that smile got wiped off His face. We'll celebrate the resurrection next week. That wiped that smile off the devil's face so fast he couldn't wait to get away from God. Because the power of God is seen on the cross. The power that He sent His Son and sent it down. And yet, we look at how the world says it. They're foolish. They say it's foolish, but I'll tell you what really is foolish. It is foolish to perish when you don't have to. It is foolish to perish when you don't have to. Perishing is foolishness. But our arrogance gets in the way. Our arrogance is so far in our way, it destroys our witness, our wisdom. You've heard the name Stephen Hawking. He was touted to be one of the smartest men that has ever lived. He was brilliant. But he did not believe in Jesus Christ. He didn't believe in the cross. I heard some that tried to talk him into heaven. They said, you know, at the last minute, he received Jesus as his personal Savior. I don't think there's any way to corroborate that. Without that, I'll tell you what. He is the smartest man, but he's the smartest man in hell, not in heaven. The only way you get to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ. And it is the cross that made that possible and paid the price for each one of us. And so it destroys the wisdom of the world. There was a cross in the heart of God long before there was ever one on that mountain out of Jerusalem. There was a cross in the heart of God long before there was even a Jerusalem. There was a cross in the heart of God rooted in God's heart for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's just it. We look at that and realize sometimes our own self-centeredness is at the root of our rejecting the gospel. Our own self-centeredness. You know, we reject God outright. There is an illustration of a man who decided not to go to church with his family. He didn't want to go. He was sitting in his warm, lovely chair, and there came a knock on the door, and there were two guys standing there. They were from one of those weird groups, and they said, boy, do we have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. We've got a way. And they brought false teachings into the home. And the problem was that this is not the way you do things. They reject God outright, or you look for God in all the wrong places. Where do you find God? Go back to the cross and see what he did for us. See what his son did for us. See what we celebrate. We don't really like to call it a celebration, but it really is. And that'll be this Friday. So let's remember that the cross was there for that reason. And we don't want to remake God in our image. That's one of the things that we do. You don't remake God in our image. Remember, we were made in his image. And we're the ones that messed it up. We are the ones that messed it up. And so we've rejected God outright. Sometimes we join those who are perishing. We watch as people disintegrate, and we watch as we deteriorate. There's a second reason that the cross demonstrates how important it was to God. The cross demonstrates how far man would go in his rebellion against God. Wow. It wasn't an easy and simple fix for us. We sinned. We sinned. And the truth is, every one of us have sinned. We were born in sin. We chose to sin. And our sin is what condemns us. And so we recognize that as all of this takes place, it is absolutely foolish to avoid the cross. Foolishness is a stumbling block for the Jews. They looked at that and said, there's no way that our Savior would ever be on a cross. They were looking for somebody to come and take their kingdom, but it didn't happen. For the Greeks, it was their culture. They had so many gods, they didn't know what to do with them. And they didn't want one more. They didn't just want one. But when we look at this, and we look at the cross, think of the horrible, horrible inevitable place that was just difficult. But this cross is the place where God's love meets men's sins. That's where it takes place. That's where it comes together. And so we recognize that God knew exactly what he was doing. It says in Galatians 4:4, you know, at the right time, at the perfect time, it was the strategic time, God sent his son. What does that mean? Do you know, for the first time in human history, there was a Roman road that had been built by slaves, but it made possible to travel anywhere you wanted to go, almost, in the kingdom. For 3 days' wages, you could go anywhere in the world where they went. 3 days' wages. You know, that opened the door so that when Jesus was resurrected and the disciples became the apostles and they were sent, it was possible that the gospel could be spread throughout the world. God knew what he was doing. The time had come for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all of that was the fulfillment of prophecy. But there's one more thing you need to think about. That fulfillment isn't complete. Jesus is coming again. We need to remember that. Jesus is coming again. And this is an urgent invitation that we need to offer to the world, that we need to offer to our families, to our friends, everyone. Jesus is coming again, and then it'll all be over. You don't want to mess that up. There's a third thing that you need to know about how the cross demonstrates how much God loved us. It is the total victory of Jesus Christ. This is God's direct intervention in our world. He stepped out of heaven and came to our world. A baby, a child, a young man, a sacrifice. We recognize that this is God's victory in Jesus Christ, and we realize that it is the power of God and the wisdom of God that we can enjoy as God saves those who will admit that they are sinners. They can't do anything about it, but they know God loves them, and they will invite Jesus into their hearts. That's the message we need to be preaching. That's the one that we need to know. God's foolishness puts man's wisdom in the dark. I like the idea of God's weakness is stronger than all the strength in the world. Have you seen the advertisement on TV of this real great big, and I don't call it wrestling, I call it wrestling. There's a big wrestling event that is the meanest thing in all the world, the toughest guys in the world. And they pale in comparison to the strength of God himself. And so when we look at the cross, the fourth thing is, the cross demonstrates what we as Christians are called to do. What we as Christians are called to do. What are we called to do? Well, number one, we are called to preach the cross. No tomfoolery. We preach the cross. That's the heart of it. Second thing is, we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after Jesus. In other words, we're not the guys in charge. We follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. We see, when you look at The Passion of the Christ, that wonderful movie that they did, you can see Jesus carrying his own cross and how hard that was. We're to take up our cross and follow after Jesus. And then we've got to trust God. His wisdom, his power, his strength is greater than all of us. I remember there was a men's fellowship thing that was going on many years ago, and at the conclusion of one of the things that we did, They passed out a little cross that you put in your pocket. You put that cross in your pocket so when you reach in to get your change or your keys, it'll remind you of the cross. But you know, we shouldn't have to have that. We ought to be remembering the cross is God's way of showing us how much He loved us and providing the means by which we can enter God's heaven. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And so we will celebrate that next week. This week, as you are confined to your house or houses, as you have to go through the things that you have to go through, I think it is important to remember that because of the cross, it is well with our soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as this week, as we walk with You throughout this week, as we recognize Maundy Thursday, as we recognize Friday, as we think of the cross, help us prepare for the resurrection that changed everything for all of us. In Jesus' name.